Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be the Vessel podcast. My name is Daniel, and I play the roles of channeler and intuitive psychologist, aiming to bridge all aspects of the healing arts while navigating my return journey to the stars. I interview those journeying through all aspects of healing, whether that be from more traditional Western frames or from a more spiritual or spirit-based connection. What I always find is that everyone is a bridge between worlds, a universe unto themselves, and a unique light that shines brightly for the collective. If you like what you hear and are interested in more of my offerings, consider joining the Be the Vessel community at patreon.com/DrDanielAtkins, where you will find various unique offerings, bonus content, and podcasts such as my own channeled information and the new Be the Vessel healing series. May you find what you're looking for and remember the light within. And lastly, the views in this episode do not represent my personal views, nor are they to be taken as medical advice or scientific fact. Always do your own research, come to your own conclusions, and trust your own guidance. Ellen Murano learned pranic healing directly from the founder, Grandmaster Choakok Sui, in 1993, and she currently receives direct mentorship from Master Stephen Ko, one of the 8 masters of pranic healing in the world, and a direct disciple of the Grandmaster himself. Inspired and encouraged by these 2 masters, Ellen witnessed positive results throughout her years of facilitation. She established her private practice in Los Angeles in 2013, where she sees one-on-one clients both in person and remotely. Her work complements Western medicine with advanced pranic healing techniques, resulting in accelerated and at times complete recovery for clients facing serious and debilitating ailments, including those rooted in emotional trauma. She has witnessed remarkable changes in the well-being of individuals, guiding them toward a path of holistic healing. Beyond private clients, Ellen also dedicates her time to service through introductory classes and feeding the homeless. She also now dedicates her time to parents, specifically working mothers who are struggling to communicate with their children. She desires to create more harmonious parent-child relationships through her webinar series called Unleash Your Inner Calm, Elevate Your Family's Harmony. I have personally had transformative experiences with Ellen both as a client and a trainee of the beginning, advanced, and psychotherapeutic aspects of pranic healing. This energetic tool has become a large part of my own toolkit, and I am excited to dive deeper into the magic of this work with all of you. May this episode be an invitation, a gift, and a medicine to clear the energetic body and create new pathways to a healthy and happy life. Hi, Ellen. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Daniel, for having me. Well, not only me, but the teachings of the teacher that I learned from.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled because the listeners of this podcast will probably know that I talk about pranic healing quite a bit. And so I'm excited to finally have, you know, the person who I trained with on to be able to share more of this medicine and this gifting, and to talk about it in a way that I certainly could not alone. So thank you.
Well, thank you for your courage and determination to reach out during those days.
Yeah, no, that's a good place to start, which is that when I first reached out, I had just been hearing about pranic healing, and then I got this confirmation through my own guides that, like, it was going to be very supportive for me. It was going to support some physical issues that I was still working with, and support me in my own gifts in working with energy. And so I just did like a general Google search and found some names, and you came up, and I reached out to you on Instagram. And then when I met you, you let me know that you never respond to messages on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so there must have been some spirit working through you to guide you to receive me.
Yeah. I don't know why I said yes to a stranger. Usually, you know, referrals of referrals. I don't know how many layers of referrals.
Yeah.
But at least somebody knows somebody. But I said yes to you, but I'm glad. It was really a spiritual guidance.
Yeah. And you really gave me the generous
gift of that deep clearing, which as you know, and I've talked about, I was like pretty much bed rest for like 2 weeks after that, because it was such an intense clearing, and because I needed it, and it wasn't a foreign experience to me, that kind of like healing crisis, as you might say, that kind of constriction after mm-hmm. a clearing, but I hadn't constricted in a while. And, you know, but my mind is a little bit twisted in that way, in the sense that having that deep experience kind of signaled to me that this was something good. This was something clearly that I needed to pursue. Ideally, I wouldn't have to keep going through that, but it was clearly a powerful medicine. And in that first session, you offered it as a donation, and you know, and I still wanted to give you something in return, but I just found that to be so beautiful and generous and in integrity. So everything was so beautiful about that experience. And yes, and then I trained with you what do you call it? Pranic Healing 1 or the beginner?
Yeah, level 1.
Level 1, and then the advanced, and then the psychotherapy, and mm-hmm. and maybe we'll get into what all that means. But yes, it was a beautiful journey. And so to start, I know a little bit of this story, but for the listeners, could you talk a little bit about how you were first led to Pranic Healing and to Grandmaster Choa and to who Choa Koksui is? And you can answer that in whatever way you like.
Oh my God. You know, when I tell my story, my husband would say like, oh, she will tell it the whole day.
Well, we got plenty of time.
I'm just so grateful, because like, I feel like I was walking in a path, a very nice path, but I have no clue how nice it was. And then so growing up, the body had asthma. It went away when I was 11. And then I work in the animation industry. It's new in the Philippines. And my career was good. And I was like, wow, this is a very new career compared to other companies. And then with the stress level, my asthma recurred. And I thought, I cannot miss this kind of opportunity. I have to find ways. So in that company, we have a good insurance company. I have 3 pulmonary doctors. All inhaler, all medication, but I'm used to it. Growing up with so much medication, I said, I'm fine. But the what ifs start coming to my mind. What if there's no inhaler? What if I love to go to places, what if there's no availability? But in my mind, I want something that's handy, that I'm empowered. And so growing up in that Catholic country, I go to church every day. I pray, like, whatever that is, here's the words I cannot forget. Bless me with the natural or alternative approach to my asthma so I can help myself and help other people. I don't know how that came out to my mouth, because usually, right, when you pray, me, but I was just like considering other people, but I didn't even know how will it help me. But anyway, out of nowhere, I have an uncle who is an ex-priest, called me. He said, we learned pranic healing from the founder, and this might help you. So I said, he's a priest, and he said, energy healing. What is energy healing? You know how young the mind or the soul then? I thought the energy was just in the fluorescent light.
I was like, oh, electricity?
How can it be in the fluorescent light? You know, like when I took the class, look, the sources of prana is the air, the sun, and the water. And so, but anyway, he said, go find a book in the bookstore. I went to the bookstore. I got the book. I was so excited. In my mind, this is an answered prayer. No matter what this is answered, because I haven't talked to my uncle for a long time. Out of nowhere, he just found me. He got in touch with me. So I got the book. I was browsing the book. Energy healing. I was like, oh my God. You know, if you grew up in the Catholic community, a country, it's like more devotional. I was like, I don't know how will this be helpful with my belief. But the strong intuition of this is an answer to your prayer, I just hold on to that. It's just like, you know, like a pillar, like, okay, here am I. Here's the answer to my prayers. And so I said, now what? I kept browsing the book. In the back, there was an office address, and it was the office of the founder. I even have no clue. It was just like walking distance. Of course, when I walked in, I was so like very desperate. I really need healing. I saw this one, my uncle, I was so bubbly. And they said, oh, the teacher will have a class. You know, in our culture, we have to ask permission from our partner for expenses like that because it's not a natural expense. In my mind, like intuitively, no, you deserve this. You have to do this. You work hard. So I just went with it. I bought the class. And then it was a two-day class and a stay-in class. You know, the class you took was just an 8-hour every day.
Yeah.
8-hour for 2 days.
Yeah, it was intense.
But then was like an overnight.
Oh, yeah. So you had to sleep over. Wow.
Yeah. But it was nice because it was a convent. And the convent have these seminar rooms and it's very spacious. And it's even overlooking the smallest volcano in the world.
Oh.
So it was a nice nature-wise. So I walked in, I registered, and I said, I don't know what is this, but this is an answered prayer. That kept repeating in my mind because I have so much fear.
Would you now say that some of those, going back to when you were talking about the what ifs and then, you know, the service-driven language, and then would you say that that was all intuitive guidance coming through you, sort of guiding you or encouraging you to pursue this?
Yes. Now that I've taken all the spiritual classes, now I know, yes, that was an intuition. And all I could say, I'm happy and I'm so grateful I listened and I followed. Because we all have free will, right? We can always say like, no, next time. You know, there's so many incidents in my life that happened, but somewhat the guidance was just so intense that I cannot resist, that I just have to follow. And so, yeah, after that, it was a stay-in class. It was so interesting. It's a big class. There's a lot of nuns and priests and business people because he just started. That was 1993. I think he just started teaching mid-80s. So it was really new. So I was in class and I was bowling. I don't know why I was bowling. Partly I'm so grateful that I found the answer.
You just found yourself like overcome with emotion right in the beginning?
Oh yeah, I was sitting there. I didn't know like how to express my gratefulness. On the other hand, I don't know if this is really the right answer to my prayer.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, right? Because like the mind still had doubts, but your body was like already feeling so grateful.
Absolutely. It's just like, because I have an accounting background, right? It's always 1 + 1 = 2. It cannot be 3. So I always try to be logical in my left brain, but my right brain just like dominates it. Like, no, you have to do this.
Yeah.
I was there, I was bowling. And then before he announced the lunch break, he said, well, we have a long lunch break because you have to assimilate the teachings because this is new. And I didn't even understand it then. Now I understand. right? Yeah. You understand like too much. And then he said, I'll be in that corner to do healing, whoever needs healing. You know what tailgating is? I was just right on his back. When he turned his back, yeah. I was right on his back. Right. I really need healing. I was already like bubbling. And then he's, nobody was in line. It was only me, you know? And I was like, then the left brain again. Oh my God, this is as if my left foot is ready to run.
Yeah.
But the right brain, stay put. This is what you asked for.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of thought was so interesting because before I never listened, I never entertained those stuff.
Right.
But at that point, you are in a level of, on a different dimension or different level of understanding or perception that...
And receptivity, right?
Yes, receptivity. As if like, well, I'm the very desperate client.
Right,
because,
right.
Because my career, I have a good job. I don't want to sacrifice it because of health. So there's so many factors. But anyway, I'm always grateful for the guidance. So I was there. He was, of course, he interviewed me. I think I described it the distance, right? Like how many, like 2 yards away.
Mm-hmm. And so just to be clear, this is the grandmaster. This is Choa, right?
This is the grandmaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I took the class, I have no clue who the teacher is.
Right.
Because my intention is just like, I just want to be healed.
Yeah.
And so when later on he said, you know, he's the founder. And it did not even sink to me until I got here in America.
Right. You didn't even realize like that's a big deal.
I didn't realize. And I even have a miraculous healing with him, right? But when I got here, people, students, friends would say, you're so grateful. You met the teacher. I was like, oh yeah, I even got a miraculous healing. Right? So let's go back to the healing. I was sitting there. Of course, he interviewed me. Of course, I was like vomiting, energetically vomiting my problems, you know,
yeah.
My issues. And can you imagine the first 4 hours of the class? Remember, we're talking about chakras and aura, right?
Yep.
I don't know if I heard that, but when I sat there, while we were conversing, he was looking around me. So I was tempted to look back if somebody was there. Was he looking for somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I realized, oh my God, he was looking at my aura.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking at my chakras, you know? And I just realized it later. I was so ashamed because can you imagine you're going to a teacher and then your aura and your chakras are so, your health rays are all tangled. But anyway, so he said, close your eyes, put your tongue on your palate. That's what we do in pranic healing. And the whole session, the tongue is on the palate. And then you just relax, you breathe, and you close your eyes. And my body moved. So I was so critical with every movement because my fear starts to surface. Like, what is this?
He's like, why is this happening? Why is my body moving?
Yeah, and then my body started to move. Why did my body move? I did not move my body. So my left brain kept conversing. And so I opened my eyes. He was holding a crystal. I was like, oh, what was that crystal about? But anyway, as if like somebody or an angel kept telling me, focus, focus. You need a healing. I said, okay, yeah, I need a healing. I'm so grateful I'm here. So that's the only thing I'm focused to. So after that, he said, just relax. So it was a long break. I slept. When I woke up, it's a totally different world. I was like, where was I? Why did it happen before? And you know, I'm always a business-minded person. Friends before said, before you launch a business, you should have a passion. I said, can I buy a passion?
Can I buy a passion? Yeah. I love that.
Can I buy that passion? Because financially, I have a good job. But after that healing, when I woke up, so many vision. And then I even thought, is this the one they're telling me about passion, about insight? I have no clue, but there's so many, as if like there's a download of information, what I should do. There's lots of, I should do this, I should do that. And I was like, well, I can do those, right? I was so confident that I have those insights that make me more positive on how I would walk life.
Like it gave you a lot of conviction or trust that this was for you.
Yes, it really validates like, okay, so this is the one. But the first thing when I woke up, I can breathe, you know? And then so many thoughts, I was like, wow, this is really good. I really, I'm a person who's so active. I want to do so many things. You know, like these days they call about multitasking, although there's no such thing as multitasking, but I want to do so many things at one time. And so, yeah, I was so grateful with that experience. And then the two-day class, I kept bowling. But after the class, my feeling was I want to heal the whole world because the techniques are so easy. There's only two techniques, the sweeping and energizing. I was like, this is easy. I can do many, many family and friends in one sitting, right? Sure enough, it happened. So careful what you ask for.
Yeah, now you're quite busy.
Yeah, so busy. And then so fast forward after that class, my career skyrocketed. I started as a payroll clerk in the animation. And after the class, I got a memo that the owner of the company wants to talk to me. I was so scared because did I make a mistake in making a check in the payroll? Because the computation for animation drawings are so many levels. So possibilities of mistake is really there. And then so my mind was running. So, well, I was asked to see him. So I went to the meeting and he said, by the way, his son, who is the director of the Warner Brothers, and his daughter-in-law would like me to be their production assistant.
Wow.
My first thought was like, this is pranic healing. I said, I don't know the job. No, they will train you. Of course, you know, so one after the other. And in fact, I have to quit that company because I have to take care of my child. But still, job come to me. I'm even offered jobs according to my availability. That I said, okay, I have to bring my child to school. And then in between, I can go work with you. And then when I have to be back before the school ends, right? And then so it's more basically on production management. They want to, because I think of the accounting background, they want to make sure that all scenes or drawings are accounted for, which makes sense. And it never stopped there until one day somebody asked me, they really need help in that big project. So I went back to the office and I met this British producer. And then after the job, I said, I don't know why I loved to be a housewife then. Because I started working when my son was 1 year old. So as he grew up and so busy with work, I love to be a mom and I love to be a housewife. I look forward to that. And then so I have to go back to work because they gave me a good offer. I said, okay, I go back to work. When the show was done, I was rejoicing that I will be a mom again. I'll be a housewife. It never stopped. You know, a telegram, how that connotation is sometimes telegram is, you know, that instant messaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a good news. So I thought, why did I get a telegram when, you know, I have sisters and my husband is accessible to where they're working.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the telegram. It says, call London, collect. I was like, oh my God.
Like something bad, another, emergency.
Another missing drawings, retakes, missing scenes. But you know, I complied. I don't know how to use a cell phone. I went to the big telephone company. And once I said, hi, this is Ellen, as if like I was so positive. They said, you should be in London next Saturday. I almost fall off my chair. My mind again, this is pranic healing. How can this happen? Yeah, and then so, I don't know how I got that visa in 2 days. I was in London the next Saturday.
Wow.
And all I could think is, wow, that healing of Grandmaster just opened the gate big time.
Again, you had this, there was like this intuitive voice that was associating all of the newfound abundance and opportunity and flow to this practice. You just kind of knew.
Because not only I didn't even do service yet, but my desire to help other people always, probably.
Right. Like, so, and I think you've said this to me before, it wasn't necessarily like a natural thought, even like in your home with your mother, that like you should always be focused on service. Like that wasn't necessarily the main focus, right?
No. It's just like, or looking back of what I learned right now, maybe I have invested a lot of service in other people before, that this just, this was the right time to give, to receive back, to receive the blessings back, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would just, those are just like intuition. So everything that happened, I always say, wow, this is pranic healing. Thinking that those clearing of the aura, removing all those negative thoughts could be anger, irritability, you know, self-sabotage, low self-esteem from interaction with family and friends growing up. And so that I really attribute that healing pulled a big stuff. Like, you know, like imagine a gate, maybe they pulled a big chain on that gate and just like, when it opened, it's just like flow freely. And yeah, a lot of even my friends ask me like, what is your ritual? Why do you get all these opportunities? I said, I don't know. I just meditate and do healing on my, even on my family and friends. You know, I'm not even like what I do here in Los Angeles. So I could say the intuition is really strong then that I was guided to do. And the more, the fact that I took all the classes. So when I was earning dollars while in the Philippines, I took most of the classes. So that's my way of gratitude to the teacher. So because I don't know how to give back. Every opportunity I have and every return I get, I always think of giving back. Like I'm just so grateful. Yeah, when somebody give me a gift of travel, I could give her like, I can give you 10 healing sessions because the gift of the travel is more than, it's the expression of her appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I want to give back to her for that very nice travel she gave me, a travel opportunity. So that's what pranic healing does to me. So that first healing just opened up and it was nonstop, right? So when I got here, I never knew there's pranic healing. I did not look for pranic healing here in America.
And so what guided you to come to America?
Oh, my mom retired from teaching 30 years. And she said, let's go to America because I have money. I can pay for your airfare because I traveled overseas. So she's more confident to travel with me because they got lost in Hong Kong one time. No, he said, that will not happen. I want you to come with us to just see California. That's what she said. So me and my dad, we got a visa and my mom. And yeah, so when we got here, when I got my visa, I quit my job in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
My boss was like, what? You're going on vacation? You're quitting your job? I said, I don't want you to be calling me for missing scenes. What's the status of the show?
Did you have a sense at that time that you were guided more to pranic healing as a profession? Or you just kind of knew that you didn't want to work there anymore?
Yes, my thought was just, I want to explore. I want to really like savor any experience that I have. I don't want to look back, not really like looking back, but of course we're grateful for what we have received before. But I just don't want them to be held with the work because I'm not there. And on my side, I don't want them because I'm so concerned with the work that if I cannot give the client the right report, what happened to the project and the company, right? So I don't want it to be dependent on me.
You didn't want that energetic cord, right? Or that attachment.
Correct. Yes.
To use the Pranic Healing Link.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I said, well, I just want to quit my job so I have time for my mom and my mom and my dad. That's it. I have no clue I'm heading to this path. No clue at all. But this is interesting. Every time I travel, I bring my advanced book, Pranic Healing Advanced Book. My husband would always tell me, that's just an additional weight on your bag. I don't know. I just keep browsing. I just love browsing it. I can't even remember memorizing a protocol or looking at a specific principle that would amaze me. I just love browsing the book in the airplane, you know, wherever I am. And so when we got here, I feel like I'm free. You know, like looking back with the teachings, the attachment and the attachment that, you know, Masuko's talking about in the Buddhism. Mm-hmm. I said like, wow, so that's what happened. I just want to deattach and then good things happen. So when I got here, my friend said, well, you're so capable of working here. I said, I don't know. But I got a job in a printing shop and I didn't know there's Masuko.
And did you, when did you feel that you wanted to stay, that you didn't want to return to the Philippines?
Because of the visa thing, I have to stay for a specific period of time.
So when you left the Philippines, did you have an idea that you were going to be here for a while?
No. I didn't bring I didn't bring my credentials. My thought was just like traveling with my mom, enjoying time with my mom.
Yeah.
But when I got here, my friend said, you have a lot of credentials, you can work here. I was like, I don't know. I always describe it as I'm riding in a boat. I'm in a boat, right? And heading in the ocean. No looking back. And it just happened. So when I was working in a printing, when I was here, in 6 months, I got a job. My parents was like, what? You're not coming home with us? I said, I got a job. But the fact that I was able to get my family, that was huge. That's what I said. I'll stay. And then that's where I found Masuko. But I didn't look for Masuko. I didn't look for Pranic Healing.
So let me back up one more second before we go to Master Ko, and we'll definitely explore who Master Ko is. But you said something before about, you know, being raised in that Catholic culture in the Philippines, mm-hmm. And that more sort of devotional faith. How were you able to, or did you consciously integrate? Because Pranic Healing, I mean, you know, the Grandmaster, it's a whole philosophy, right? It's beyond just a tool. It's a whole contextual understanding of the universe and life force and all of that. So did that conflict at all with your Catholic perspective? Did it start to shift things for you, for your religious beliefs at all?
That's really interesting. I think there's some guidance there. I was just focused on Pranic Healing.
Mm.
I think because right from the beginning, the fact that my uncle was an ex-priest, and then when I took the first class, most of the students are priests and nuns. I think that resolved something in me, in my belief. But as I went through deeper, when he talked about the esoteric teachings, then I started to think, I was like, oh, should I go to church or should I?
Right.
And then, yeah. And then later on, as I dig deeper, I was like, oh, we can go to any church. Right?
It kind of like, it freed you up a little bit. There was a little more expansion.
Yeah. I'm so happy there was no guilt there.
Yeah.
I think it set foot when I stepped into Pranic Healing, the ex-priest, the nuns, and it was even in the convent. I think that gave me peace of mind.
Yeah.
I didn't have doubts about how to integrate, because Catholicism in the Philippines is just like there's no other choice because it's, you know, we were there for 200 years. That was brought to us for 200 years, inculcated in our mind that, okay, we just go to church. For me, it's a ritual. It's not something that...
What is that word you're saying?
A ritual. Like,
oh,
okay,
oh,
Sunday,
ritual. Oh, ritual.
Ritual.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You got my accent?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go to church, you pray. Yeah. Then I grew up with my grandma. She would say the rosary many times a day. I was like, Grandma, we'll pass heaven because we're praying the rosary every day many times. So that's the level of religious aspect in me, mm-hmm. not delving into the Bible and questioning things, no.
It was just, yeah, it was just more of the ritualistic, like, practice.
Yes,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That because you grew up with it, because you just follow your elders, you go to church,
right.
you pray the rosary,
right.
you pray. We don't argue, like, if you commit something, it's a sin. We don't go into that topic.
Right, okay.
Right? So we just, as long as you pray, you're a good person, you behave well, you respect the elders, that's big for our family. So for me, it's just going to the ritual. So when I learned the esoteric teachings, it was not difficult for me to digest it, to accept.
Right, because this is starting to open, like, okay, but have you ever wondered, like, why or how things work, you know, underneath the surface?
Yeah, like while I was in the big city, I was a devotee of Mother Perpetual Help. She has a shrine and she has a weekly novena every Wednesday.
Who is this?
So
Mother of who?
Mother of Perpetual Help, like Mother of Jesus, Mother Mary.
Mother Mary, okay, Mother of Perpetual Help.
Yeah,
got it.
They call it Mother Perpetual Help. You know, in Mexico, they have Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, yes.
So
I've
Mother
heard of
Perpetual
that.
Help. So I'm a devotee. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting when I started asking my wishes, my goals, and a job, because I haven't, when I started going to the church, I haven't had a job yet. Mm-hmm. So I said, once I get a job, my first pay, I'll buy your poster. I have it here up to now. And then when I learned Buddhism and Hinduism and other esoteric teachings Grandmaster offered, yeah, he even has the inner Christianity revealed. That made me even more understand what my religion was. And then so I was fascinated because I was so devotee of Mama Mary. And then when I learned Lord Buddha Kuan Yin, I was like, wow, I could see the, you know, like why he did it. Why he has esoteric classes for us to know this is just the same. They're just different faces.
Well, yeah, right. Because some would refer to these different figures as ascended masters, right?
Yes.
That sort of transcend their specific religious frame, but sort of all align on like just a higher level of consciousness that these figures, And so can you just explain a little bit about how much of, I don't even know what you would call it, a seeker Master Choa was, because he was just discovering and learning and integrating all these things, right? Like, where did he learn these things from? Or was it really all of his own guidance and volition to just learn about all these different philosophies, religions, and his own clairvoyance?
Yeah. So Master Choa learned from his teacher, Lord Mahaguruji Meling. So, you know, it's an ascended teacher. So the transmission, it's so amazing, like how an individual or a soul is born in the human body to do that kind of job.
Yeah.
To decipher, right? Like, what would, I suppose the teacher would not say, okay, read a book, pranic healing, this and that. But he has to really decipher it well, decode or whatever, right?
What's right. The right. He has the, he incarnated with the unique capacity to sort of integrate and just, yeah, decipher and discern all of this material so that he could deliver it in an accessible way to the world.
Yeah, because who would think that, okay, the non-touch should be applicable to anybody, any country, any religion, any belief, right?
Yeah.
And then using prana to help the body heal itself. So there was even one of the stories I heard is he was connected. Philippines has a lot of healers. He was even connected to the great healers that who could also teach him, help him.
Like what kind of, because it wasn't, he wasn't learning pranic healing because he created it, right? So what was he learning from his master, from these other healers? What kind of, what were the transmissions he was receiving?
That I cannot say the exact word, but mm-hmm. all I could, I as far as I received it, is like he has a teacher who guided him to make pranic healing.
To his own awakening and his own yes. inner guidance. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could also be part of the guidance, right?
Right.
Like even the right words that he should do, the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he is so powerful, he's so advanced that he can feel and he can even scan what's right and what's not right.
Yeah, like a lot of the gifting was sort of natural for him, and the teachers were just sort of helping him own that in a way.
Yeah. And then so, yeah, he is very particular on superstitious beliefs because Philippines has a lot of superstitious beliefs. So
yeah,
he wants to make it somehow objective.
Right. But, he didn't care for that. He wanted it to be more scientific.
Yes, because he's a chemical engineer.
Yeah, so he was a chemical engineer,
yeah,
right.
He wants to, you know, like how this experimentation, hypothesis, and you know, this is the result. Yeah. So Master Ko mentioned he did a lot of experimentation, not only himself, but he also asked the other healers.
Right. I remember this.
To help him.
Wouldn't he like when he was so meticulous, right? When he was writing his books, wouldn't he like he would line up a bunch of students in training and just sort of have them individually almost like double blind controlled studies, like use their clairvoyance to see over and over again if they could identify something in a sufferer or something like that?
Absolutely. So he gathered people with different illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Masiko said he has a big file. Okay, for example, for one person, he would make his own observation and then he will ask another healer, what can they see? So there could be like two or more healers who would make their assumption on what chakras, example, abdominal pain. So that's how he figured out that there's specific chakras that will address the stomach pain. You don't have to address all the chakras. That's what made it easier to follow. Example, solar digestive system. And even, you know, the chakras are already in the other books, right? But he made it easy for us to understand. Simple language.
So the, I realize we haven't even really defined what pranic healing is, so we'll do that. But things like the chakra system, that had already existed. And would you say people
yes.
were familiar with the chakras in the Philippines? Or was that level of energetic awareness new as well?
That's new because I think the perception of people, like you learn about energy healing or any kind of modality, they look at it as an elective,
like a hobby.
Yeah, like for my experience, I learn it, okay, I'll just put it there,
right? But maybe I'll use it sometime.
Yeah, but because of the successes or the blessings that I received, it kept reminded me.
Yeah.
It kept reminding me that there's a connection with that chakras that I just learned.
Right.
Right. And then so even in the Philippines, the fact that it's Catholic, it's not exposed to chakras really.
Yeah, because that would come more from like the yogic traditions, right?
Yes. So my grandmaster make it easy for us to understand, like specific chakra controls specific organs. It didn't say, if I read other books, it would be like, okay, there's so many like esoteric words also.
Right.
But for him, he made it easy. Your throat chakra controls the thyroid, parathyroid, and the tonsils.
And because he was a scientist, right? So his books are like very clear. They're like textbooks, right?
Very clear. So that's why maybe at first you'd be overwhelmed with so much information. But if you have a physical condition, you have the tendency to go back. Wait. I heard that in that class that the throat is affecting, the throat chakra is in charge of the tonsils. Or if there are inflammation there, then I have to just address the throat chakra, right? And then the pranic psychotherapy, the emotional aspect of it, it's just so amazing.
So if you could, just very quickly for us, Ellen, how would you define pranic healing?
Pranic healing is an advanced energy healing modality that uses prana to balance, realign, and harmonize the body. So sometimes they think energy healing, oh, if they feel relaxed, that's energy healing.
Right.
That's why we use the light of our hands. So he teaches how to activate your hand so you can feel energy.
And because prana being the life force that flows through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the life force flows through us, and then you can even tap the life force, you know, when you activate your hand, minor chakra, the hand, and then you feel some sensation there. So you can grab that dirty energy from your energy body. So otherwise, you cannot reach into your thyroid and parathyroid, right?
Right, but you can't do it physically. Working,
yeah, do it physically. So understanding that the energy body and the physical body is interpenetrated.
Yeah.
That's huge to me.
Yeah.
Because growing up with so much medication, I said, why do we have to take so much medication for us to feel good? It didn't even have the curative aspect of it. But he said, the energy body, disease energy happens in the energy body first before it happens in the physical body.
Yes.
And the physical body follows the energy body. So we have to make sure that our aura, our chakras are clean enough so the physical organs are being fed properly so it can function well. So that's huge.
And so it's really based on the foundational principle that prana or life force flows through all things, and we all have an energetic body that creates and or mirrors back a physical body. So all things that we encounter, whether it be emotional trauma, physical trauma, illness, disease, on the level of thoughts, beliefs, etc., all of this is stored almost like in a, I don't know if you would consider it like an energetic library.
Yes.
That can get blocked or dirty in the energetic body.
Yeah. So he said there's two factors of diseases, the external and the internal. The external is just the germs, you know, the poor diet, poor exercise.
Yeah.
But the internal is our emotions. It could be from the trauma. Example, if somebody has a traumatic experience when they were young, they have no clue that they have that trauma. But the seed of the trauma is seated in that solar plexus chakra or any part of the body. So that's energetic. So that sits in the energy body. So example, solar plexus is in charge of the liver, stomach, and part of the small and large intestine. The chakra has to breathe. It has to inhale the right amount of energy to make the organs function well. At the same time, it has to exhale the byproduct. Like we drink, we pee, we eat, we go, right? The same with the chakra. But since we cannot see it, we can easily neglect it and ignore it until the time where the body's at the edge, cannot identify what the problem was, right? Or what the problem is. So as the chakra inhale and exhale, and since there are blockages of old traumatic negative energies, anger, irritability, these are like dusts or parasites sitting on the chakra. You're like, can you imagine your door with a cobweb?
Yeah.
Right? So not enough circulation of energy. Mm-hmm. And so what happened later on, so many cobwebs might build inside the room, right? So the same with the chakra. So if there's not enough exhalation of that used up prana or energy, so those cobwebs or parasites or dust will sit in the organs. So can you just imagine your face filled of splinters, right? You have to remove it because we can physically feel it. But that's why it's important to learn energetic hygiene, because we know even though we don't feel it now, we have to clean whatever has been stored in our energy body.
Would you say that is it a foundational principle of pranic healing that all or most illness or disease manifests from the neglected energetic body? Of course, there are lifestyle influences, right, as you mentioned, but it also seems like a huge area, and maybe you would consider this the level of the thoughts, the emotions, the unresolved trauma, this energetic distortion contributes to a lot of illness and disease when it spills over into the physical.
Yeah, because it will create a blockage. You know, it's like even in the aura is electrobiomagnetic field. We interact with people, and then if they give us not so nice words, it gets stuck in our aura. But when somebody gives you very nice compliment, you would be smiling the whole day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if that negative thought sits there, it kept playing like a broken record. So you feel like, that's not good. I don't feel good.
It's really like you're infected.
Yeah, you're right. That's the right word. Yeah. And so that's why when I teach, it's really essential the energetic hygiene should be practiced every day, every moment of our life. Don't allow yourself to be sucked in all those not so good comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to learn how to detach ourselves every time somebody gives us negative comments.
Yeah, so there's a really, it's sort of a foundational practice and process, not just to keep the physical body healthy, but to keep the mind healthy, to be open to things like abundance, like you said, to really live your highest, most joyful potential and life purpose.
Yeah. The good thing with learning the chakras is you know how to address a specific issue. Like the basic chakra is the prosperity chakra. So if you think like not enough opportunities are coming to you, or even finances, you clean that chakra. So one time I was working on a client, I was working on all the chakras, and I don't know the particular issue, because in pranic healing, we don't ask the details of their problems.
You don't need to know, right? You're just guided.
You don't need to know. They're just like, oh, what's the problem? Oh, emotions. So we don't say who hurt them, you know, we don't ask. So I felt like something in the lower back, and then I clean it, and he said, afterwards, somebody gave him $100. And I was like, oh, that's good, you know, because a simple belief could affect the chakra.
Yeah. And so, and to translate, when you say basic chakra, some would understand that as the root chakra, because pranic healing has sort of its own categorization for the chakras.
Yeah. Not in the seven chakras, they call it root.
Mm-hmm.
But the sex chakra and the basic chakra has two different functions.
Yeah.
The basic chakra is in charge of the skeletal system and even the production of cells. The sex chakra is in charge of the reproductive system.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the seven chakras, they put it like the root, the middle, right?
Right. And because the Grandmaster was so meticulous and detailed, right? He really wanted to discern and differentiate. And also, I would just add the reason or part of the reason that you don't ask people to speak to their issues is because you're feeling them with the energetic body, right? Kind of like when you described the Grandmaster was looking at your aura, you know, when you were speaking. That's what you're doing. You're looking and feeling, and some people will hear intuitively, you know, what's going on, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's so interesting when I do a session and then I feel something. They don't tell me, right, what's going on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I will ask, like, do you worry a lot, or do you have something that you want to say? It's like, oh my God, how did you know that? Are you a psychic? I said, no. I just felt it. That's a good thing with pranic healing, because the scanning part of it, you can scan, you will know what part of your body is congested and depleted. And then you can do that every day of your life. So it's now a preventative approach.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, why is my navel heavy? So you start cleaning your navel. Not then sometimes diarrhea happens because I ate something. Somebody ate something, right? But if you have already cleaned it regularly, the recovery is faster.
It feels like energy medicine, and specifically Grandmaster Choa really brought this unique integration of science and spirituality, because some people might be open to psychics and mediums and things like that. But with pranic healing, there's sort of a framework to understand where that information might come from, you know, how it can be detected or literally felt or seen in the energetic body. And that could extend upward to sort of the quantum field or the energetic field that where we all may receive information from. So it feels like this way to integrate what spiritual information is and how it can be detected or how things about a person can be detected in their energetic body.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because he laid that down in different classes. So in level one, we know the chakras, right? The functions and the diseases. In level two, in the healing classes, he will tell about chakras control specific organs. Then when you go to pranic psychotherapy, he explains the psychological factors of each chakra, right? So the ajna,
the forehead,
in level one, and advanced pranic healing, the in between the eyebrows.
Or yeah, the brow chakra.
Ajna. Yeah. The yeah. Forehead is in the hairline.
Right. And that's, would you say the forehead is what people would understand as the third eye?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And the ajna is just below that in the brow.
Yeah. But the hairline is, the forehead chakra is in the hairline.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of the forehead.
Okay. Yeah.
And then so in level one and two, in miracles and the advanced pranic healing, we know that the ajna is in charge of the eyes and the nose, right? But the psychological factor, this is in charge of willpower.
Yeah, so it's really an integration, which is why it's so comprehensive, right? Because you're learning all about these connections to the physical body. And then you're also learning all about the chakra's connections to emotionality, to the brain, to psychology, to beliefs and the mind.
Yeah. And then there's a class, Spiritual Essence of Man. He talked about the spiritual aspect of each chakra.
Right.
And I love that. Well, I love all the classes. But that one, he explains like the spiritual, even the spiritual name of each chakra.
And when I was in class, I was asking all these questions. I wanted to know. It's not, we're talking about early life trauma, right? But you know, the philosophy would extend to previous incarnations, right? To the soul's journey, what we may be carrying from other lifetimes.
Yeah, because there's a reason why we are reincarnated.
Right, right. Right.
Because we have to fulfill or give back to whatever we did before.
Right. And so that energetic body is not just a storage system for this life, but a storage system for the soul's journey.
Yes. The evolution of the soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the good thing of those, the whole package of the teachings is it makes you not so attached to things.
Yeah.
Because example, oh, why this particular condition doesn't go away?
Right.
Oh, you know, maybe I hit somebody before, right? If you have aches and pains in the legs and you did something and it kept recurring, or maybe I hit somebody before, something like that.
It really gives you what I find. It alleviates some of the pervasive medical anxiety that we have, particularly in the US, where, you know, we're not feeling well, we have a pain, we think, oh my God, what's wrong? I need to go to the emergency room. I need to have surgery. I need to have, and you know, with an energetic perspective, you know, sometimes maybe you do need to do those things, but you have, like you said, you're empowered if you learn it because you have tools or you have people like you that you can reach out to. And there are non-invasive, like you said, non-touch ways, you know, this is a non-touch practice that can also be done remotely and in distance, earlier I had someone on the podcast talking about magnets, and actually I didn't realize that magnets had a lot of similarities, that they could be done remotely and in distance as well as placed on the body. There's probably some correlation there to energy, but anyway, it's empowering for people, and I think it can provide us an expanded frame of like what's happening to us and how we can address it.
Absolutely. Because you don't, for me, growing up with fear, you know, you're walking, you're on a vacation. One day I went to Hawaii. It's a 10-day vacation. On day one, I step on a coral.
Mm.
So it's an open wound.
Mm.
Then what do? I clean it regularly. And in advanced pranic healing, there's instantaneous healing of a fresh wound. So I still enjoyed my 10-day vacation.
And I really...
It did not get infected.
And, you know, people may hear that and be like, okay, instantaneous healing, sure, sure, sure. But I will say that, I mean, the amount of time since I learned pranic healing that I, like, pretty severely burned myself or cut myself and used pranic healing, and it just did heal faster. And even maybe more importantly, the pain went away faster than I'd ever experienced.
That pain relief is just easy. But you know, we always tell, the teacher always say, there are 7 factors for healing. It depends on your diet, your attitude, so many factors,
and lifestyle,
your environment,
factors. Right.
He called it 7 factors.
Yeah. So we've already been chatting for a while. So let me jump us ahead now back to when you're in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. How did you meet Master Stephen Koh?
It was absolutely guidance. Because I did not look for pranic healing. I didn't even know Master Koh existed.
And can you also just say, what are the masters of pranic healing? And there's not many of them.
Yeah, Grandmaster, like blessed or anointed, like 8 of them. and they're in different countries. So Masako is here in the US, so he is our mentor of all the instructors, so he teaches all the classes. Yeah. So I was working in a printing shop, and then he was in Chino. We're like 60 miles apart away.
Yeah.
And then so I'm in a accounting staff, I receive orders, and the lady called, "We have a brochure, ASAP, can you check the file? We have to process the payment." Of the four of us, why that order landed on me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened, it's the pranic healing brochure of Masako. Of course, my eyes was like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. I said, I learned pranic healing. Of course, I was bubbly. 1993, da, da, da.
Right.
And then she said, oh, that's good. So
she's like, oh, okay, cool.
So that's how we met. So I took a day off to really drive 60 miles to see him. Luckily, he was not so busy then. And then since I took most of the classes, I asked for healing, you know, like migration and everything. And he said, oh, yeah, just do service, you know what to do. I opened 6 healing clinic in my area.
Wow.
In our area here, yeah.
And so Master Ko is also from the Philippines, right? And he trained with Master Choa as well.
Yes.
Okay. And so when you met him, you were like, okay, should I take more classes? And Master Ko was like, no, just you got it. You know it, just do service. And so you just opened. So at that point, the synchronicities had become clear to you that you were going to step more into pranic healing, right? As a healer?
Not yet.
Not yet, but you opened 6 clinics.
Yeah. I told you, I was just like, okay, I know I'm doing service. So my point of doing service is to make my life easier.
Yeah. Right? Sounds good.
I'll help people, so I'll be helped with what I need. Because I just migrated. I already had my family here. I brought them here.
Right.
And then so I opened 6 healing clinics. And then people start to look for me. Oh, they're looking for me. I was like, everybody's using the same technique. But they said, no, we like you. I was like, okay, so what's the difference? But anyway.
You were like, your ego was like, but why me? There's so many other people you could go to. Like, it's all the same. And it also sounds like, even though you opened 6 healing clinics, there was still a part of you that was like, kind of like the word you said before, like, oh, this is just an elective. This is just like a hobby. I'll go back to doing it. Hopefully it will make my life at the printing shop better.
Right. And so, yeah, that was my perception before. And then when I started, when people start to ask me for private sessions, I was like, oh, so this could be a job.
Ah, yeah. So the business mind was like, oh, this could be good.
Yeah, it kicked in. I was like, oh, then I could have my career. But I never realized up to where am I right now.
You never dreamed.
I just took it one step at a time.
Yeah.
And then so I started doing house calls because I don't have an office then. And then Masako said, you teach. I was like, teach? Can I teach this? You know, will people understand me? But I said, yeah, I can do this. So that's how my clientele started to build.
Yeah. And I recall you told me some amazingly just like divinely guided stories of how clients found you, right? Like celebrities and all kinds of people just started showing up to you, right?
Yeah, somebody would just call me that. Or there was this, I think, I don't know if I share this to you. This guy called, oh, I will arrive in LA. I want to meet you tomorrow. I said, wait, who referred you to me? No, I was in this event in Chicago. So there was no specific name that I know.
Were you in Chicago with Master Ko doing training?
No.
Oh.
Just lately, then, no.
Oh, okay.
I went with him just last year.
Okay.
But I don't travel with him. And then he said, it was an event. It wasn't even a class. I think it was like, you know, a holistic event. Somebody told me to look for you here in LA. So I'll be in Ritz-Carlton Hotel. I was like, oh my God, I'll bring my bowl in that hotel. So I bring my bucket, you know. I travel with my bucket, with salt.
Yeah, just to be clear, so using buckets filled with salt is a very important part
of it. It's like a trash bin, right?
Right, the clearing of energy using salt, yeah.
So when we remove energy from the body, it has to be dumped in the salt water. Because you don't want it to be, you know, sitting around you and then you get contaminated.
Right.
Then I have to have a sprayer to spray my hands.
Yes.
Because once you get in touch with energy, unless it's golden, then you have to keep it. But not all has golden energy. So you have to clean it.
Yeah, to share a little bit, you're referencing that the energy has different frequencies or colors that, you know, like golden or violet prana has a, you know, that's great. We can receive that, but it might have a different frequency that we may not want in our energetic body. We may want to clear it off.
Yeah. Common people have grayish energy because of stress, anger, irritability, right? And then so, yeah, I had that and I was in the lobby. Then they called him. I was like, oh, this is a guy. So I went upstairs and then he told me who referred him. It was pure guidance. Again, you know, same with you.
Yeah.
I said, why did I accept it? And it's in a hotel and I'm by myself.
Right. There were risks involved and all kinds of things.
That did not even dawn to me about the risk. Because once they tell me their problem, my heart was just like, yes, pranic healing might not give you 100%, but it will give you a good life.
And it feels like the same inspiration that opened in your heart when you first attended Master Choa's class and you just knew like, oh, I want to give this to the world. When someone calls and you feel it in your heart, you just kind of, you knew you wanted to respond and be of service.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it was just like a lot of those synchronicities for you, right? Like just people calling you up, discovering who you are, and it just sort of expanded from there.
Yeah. I have clients that has been with me for 10 years now.
Wow.
It just started with a phone call.
Yeah.
Oh, I called Masako's office and they told me to call you. I was like, okay, let's start. I started with one family member and I ended up like working on everybody in the family.
Right, right.
He hasn't taken the class, but he understood. And he saw the difference.
Yeah.
With the regular healing, he's more confident. He's more at peace. That the family members doesn't get sick extremely.
Yeah. And I feel like that's so much of how these things get accepted is through the experience of it and then through the stories to a family member or like me bringing my parents in and to you and getting healed.
Yeah, thank you. It was amazing.
And it's like through the family lineages. And, you know, now there's also medical doctors, right? And people who are integrating this wisdom, but the stories from people who you trust and listen to is so valuable to share this medicine.
Yeah, I love my children clients because they call me like the household name. So I have children like they fell, they had a broken bone, and they were all help. So if they're not feeling well, they will tell their mom. Please text Ellen because I need a healing. And then mom would say, yes, yes. The child would say, no. I need to see your phone that you really sent a text to Ellen. That was amazing. And then I have a client who had stage 4 cancer 2015. So there was regular healing even after remission, right? And then so they moved to another state. They were here before. He would tell the mom, we need to have a regular healing with Ellen, because I could feel the ickiness of my classmates or in school or in the classroom. Can you imagine like how these children are very sensitive, or they appreciate, they see the difference now, right?
Well, kids, I think you would agree, kids are so typically so naturally open to the spirit world, to energy, and a lot and more of them, because I've had the pleasure of working with some recently, more and more of them have incredibly developed psychic gifts. They just, it's yeah. like they come in and the veil is thin already. And so yeah. something like energy practice, energy healing, they're like, oh yeah, that's totally true. That's totally real. And they're sensitized to it, and they feel it, and they know it supports them.
And I think with the regular healing also, it makes their aura and chakras clean. So there's clarity.
Yeah.
And the discernment is there, like, okay, wow, that feels better. I feel good, you know?
Right. Like it's self-fulfilling. So like, if you're open to going, then the clearings themselves will support that clarity, that sensitization,
yes.
and that opening of the channel to inner guidance.
It's just amazing.
It is. And you briefly mentioned, you know, a client with cancer, and you know, you've told me incredible stories of working with people who were HIV positive, who had cancer. I mean, all kinds of incredible stories.
It's a blessing that they were open to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what I loved about training with you is there was a lot of, and maybe you would say this is sort of a cultural influence or an influence of the Grand Master, but there's a lot of humility in pranic healing. You know, when these people with severe ailments would come to you, it was like, okay, I don't know. I don't know if it will help, but sure, we'll work on you.
Yeah. Years ago, there's this lady, the mom called that her daughter might have a miscarriage.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, no, fetus is so delicate. Mm-hmm. No, Masako said you can do this. I was like, okay. You know, like the boy who cried wolf, maybe I was like, I'm calling everybody to help me.
Yeah, yeah.
All the angels, please help me. So yeah, there was no miscarriage. Pregnancy was successful.
Yeah.
But on the 9th month, he was so eager to deliver the baby sooner. Mm. The doctor said, no, it might take 2-3 days. She remembered me. She emailed me, Ellen, can you expedite this? I was like, whoa, I just finished this miscarriage thing and then now expedite.
Wow.
So it's a remote healing because we do distant healing. I was here, she's in Florida. In an hour, the baby came out.
Wow. And so just to clarify, when you say remote or distance healing, you mean you do not have to be in the same room as the person.
No.
It can be across time and space, because that's how energy works.
I have a lot of pregnancy clients. I said I have the 27th baby born last October.
Wow.
So these are all birthing, but I'm not in the delivery room.
Right. And so do you know if like the medical doctors are, the doctors delivering the baby, like, are they aware of you? Are they open to you?
No, but the client in October, they said first time it happened, 30-minute pushing, baby came out.
Wow. Yeah. So the client, the mother knows, and you know.
Value. The mother was my client. I was my right. student and my client.
Yeah.
And then not only that, the pediatrician was surprised how strong the baby is, because the mom is a pranic healer, so she kept doing cleansing on, you know, on herself. So.
Yeah. And this, as like you said, this needs to be standard practice. And I foresee a more integrative future where the medical doctors are open to these kinds of practices. So every delivery might have a pranic healer in the room. Didn't Master Choa say like every household should have a pranic healer? Or something.
Yes, at least one pranic healer.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah, so his emphasis is like, of orthodox medicine is to treat the physical body, but the emphasis of pranic healing is to heal the energy body.
Yeah, and the integration is beautiful.
And the combination is always good.
Yeah.
It would even make the medication faster, the recovery faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So as we start to wrap up here, Ellen, I'll just ask, because you mentioned it a bit, and I know you're interested in motherhood and supporting mothers. Where is your focus these days in Pranic Healing? Is it toward mothers and supporting children as well?
Yes, I really love, because I learned this, my son was just 6 years old. And then I saw it. I saw the transformation of my child. Now he's 36. That's why my heart is like, I hear other friends, mom friends, they have issues with their children.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we have to start sooner so they have a happy and happy family life and successful children.
Yeah, it seems so important that we utilize such powerful medicines like energy healing, like magnets, like whatever else we can use to support the early life environment, right? So that we don't have to do years and years of healing as adults like a lot of us do.
Yeah, any energy healing, as long as it addresses the energy body, and then you take supplements for your physical body.
Right.
That's a win-win situation.
Beautiful. Well, this has been amazing. I'm so grateful for you. So happy to have this conversation with you and to explore as much as we did. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, I really want to start the mom sooner, maybe with a webinar. How can we help them, especially working moms?
Yeah.
And these days, you know, children are into their gadgets.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see some parents would be happy that their child is busy with other stuff.
Right.
But it would be better if they have a good communication.
Yeah. Yeah. So to all the mothers out there, if we can get them involved with some pranic healing earlier and learn how to facilitate that healing and also for themselves and for their children, it will do great things for our world.
Yeah, it saves time and money.
Yeah.
Because rather than being absent from work because the child always gets sick, it's not only the money, but the emotions.
Right.
For me, if my child gets sick, I mean, I could hardly sleep.
Yeah.
Right? So I know the mom's feelings. So if you could help them in pranic healing, that would be helpful.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all that you do. And where can people find you if you'd like them to?
They can go to my website, ellenmorano.com.
And I'll put that in the show notes. Again, thank you so much, Ellen.
Thank you for having me. I hope it's helpful, and I hope people will resonate with the story.
I have no doubt that they will. I have no doubt that they will. And I'm sure I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you like the episode and would like to support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review anywhere you listen. And if you'd like to connect further, feel free to reach out on Instagram, my website, or my Patreon page at patreon.com/DrDanielAtkins, where for $5 a month, you can gain access to all sorts of exclusive benefits and offerings for the Be the Vessel community. This includes live channeled events, a new healing series podcast, and more. Until then, may you be the light, the frequency, and the vessel for your highest vision.